Hi guys, this is Nadia Hilker. I'm playing Magna on The Walking Dead, and you guys are listening to The Walking Dead Talks Through. I hope you guys enjoy this podcast, and I'm sending you all my love. Bye!
Hello, my name is Cassie McClincy. I play Lydia on The Walking Dead, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through. Yay!
Hey there, guys. I'm Callan McAuliffe, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Hey, I'm Lindsley Register, and I play Lara on The Walking Dead. You're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Hey, this is Ross Marquand, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through.
Awesome.
Hey survivors, welcome to episode 136 of The Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Kyle.
And I'm LT.
Hey. Hey. I don't know why I do that every time, but it's just
hey. Well,
it's just fun. All right. Well, we will be covering The Walking Dead season 11, episode 13, titled Warlords. But first, we did get some feedback for the last episode or slash podcast of season 11, episode 12, titled The Lucky Ones. And it comes from two of our favorites, Dieta and Renee. So I'm going to start with Renee's because, and just, I'm putting out there that like, Renee gave some, I had to edit it a little bit to cut it, to put it in the right places in the show. And then Dieta's, she missed the 3-minute mark and got cut off. So I kind of edited it to kind of clean it up. So just so you guys know, it's like, everything is there. I just kind of spliced it around just to make it all fit. So let's start with Renee.
Hi guys, this is Renee from Fairburn. The first thing I want to address is last week when someone said something about subtitles, and I watch everything with subtitles. I love medieval movie, the medieval times. I like Vikings and stuff like that. And a lot of the accent is so very strong that I have no choice but to, watch things with subtitles. But that's the norm for me. Whether I'm watching a show, movie, does not matter. I'm using, my subtitle is on. That's why my husband does not like to watch shows with me, because he can't stand the subtitles. And then someone mentioned Max's glasses. I love her glasses. They're super cute to me. I wear glasses, and I have the big glasses like that. I like the geeky look. A lot of my family and friends, they call me, geeky, a little nerd, because I read all the time. And, I like shows like The Walking Dead, which to them they think is weird. Yeah, like I said, I like medieval. I like stuff like that. And I love that look.
Thank you, Renee, for your awesome feedback as always. Like I said before, she started going into like stuff about this week's episode, so I edited it down or just kind of cut it. So that's why it kind of was a hard stop. But as always, Renee, keep sending on your feedback, your voicemails. We love it. Subtitles like, or the, captions or whatever. Like I can't watch the shows and do this without that, because half the time I don't hear like half the stuff they say. All right, well, thank you, Renee. And next then will come Dieta.
Hi guys, this is Dieta calling from Detroit with a little bit of feedback from the feedback. So I was calling regarding the last episode that you guys just finished taping. I was listening to first and foremost, I want to say hey to everybody. And so I was calling back just to say about the feedback. So the person that you guys were trying to figure out her name, that's Diane. She's from the kingdom. She was one of King Ezekiel's soldiers, along with I can't think of nobody's name today. What's his name? Oh gosh, the one that Jerry. Everybody loves Jerry. But yeah, Diane was there. And she was also in the scene with them at the during the flood when they were trying to fight off the walkers. It was Diane, Lydia, and Rosita, I believe, at the house that were trying to, keep the walkers at bay, from coming upstairs with everybody. But also, I just wanted to follow up on that comment about the hospital. I understand what you guys were saying about how, you know, people may have to wait or have to have a tab or whatever. But I guess what I'm coming from the standpoint of, like, and I guess I didn't realize that the Commonwealth never had to deal with the outside world, because listening to the podcast, I just figured it out that they were already inside the walls, I guess, in the Commonwealth. I thought that they had built the community and built the walls like Deanna had in, you know, where, I guess, you know, when it happened. Because, I mean, I guess I'm trying to figure out, like, when did people just start building walls out the blue, like, during the apocalypse? They know that this is coming, and just everybody just started, let's hurry up and build walls, let's build walls. I guess I'm assuming, like I said, that they came after, you know, the apocalypse is, you know, we need to start building walls and start trying to, you know, protect ourselves. But anyway, so what I guess what I'm saying as far as the healthcare, that if somebody's having issues or, like, you don't want out-of-control disease to take over your community, you definitely don't want somebody getting sick and because they're not up on the list or can afford to get the care. So I'm just wondering, trying to figure that out. To me, that was just a little, I think they should have just not had that in there, because it doesn't make sense in the apocalypse. You don't want nobody to get sick because you don't want nobody to turn and start killing folks because they're sick and they can't get the care that they need. So I don't know. That's all I wanted to say about the hospital, basically. Or the line to get care thing. I just think that was kind of ludicrous to happen in the community that's supposedly surviving an apocalypse. But anyway, that was just my opinion on that. Like I said, I don't know where it cut off, so I'll probably repeat and stuff. But anyway, what else did I want to say about that? I think that was all I had to say. Oh, Kyle, that was a beautiful picture. I kind of saw you posted right when I was thinking about calling you. And I just want to say, hey, Renee, we holding it down if you get back on online with us. But I love here waiting on your feedback, as always, is on point. And I think that's it. Of course, hey, Brian. Hey, LT. Love everything. And, oh, gosh, LT. I love it when you were talking about the guns, how everybody just magically got extra bullets to shoot. And, oh, the point about the – I was wondering the same thing. Why they didn't tell her to stop – why they shooting guns? Like, okay, y'all do know it's going to attract the dead, and then you're going to have a whole swarm on you, but they just steady shoot. I was thinking the same thing when, like, so Maggie, you're not going to say nothing? Y'all just going to stand there and watch them shoot and wait for the dead to come? Because even when Hornsby did it with Aaron, and Aaron's like, are you okay? I would be like, why you shoot? You know that's going to bring the walkers. I guess they feel so mighty that they don't have to worry about it or something. I mean, I can't believe you're that oblivious to the fact that sound attracts the dead, you know, that they can't be in that bubble and just not know that. It doesn't even make sense. You know, I don't care how, you still have to deal with the outside world, even though you put yourself in that bubble. Because what does she got all these so-called soldiers for if she really doesn't feel like the dead are a threat? But whatever. Yeah, I totally thought that was wild, too. But that's it. I just wanted to say hey and let everybody hear my voice. Look forward to hearing the feedback. Love y'all. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Deanna. Awesome feedback. Glad to hear from you.
Yay. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Totally the healthcare thing. I mean, it's just the Commonwealth, you know, why they have this like caste system or like this, they're trying to bring back the old ways of the world before the ZA. And so it didn't make very much sense that like, wouldn't you want to protect your people? And then why are you making it like, you know, like, I mean, I get there's, we talked about it too, where it's like, you know, there's resources. So maybe it's something along that lines, but you know, if you can just get bumped on the list because you have some political connection, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. And along with what Dieta's saying, I think that this also goes to show how little exposure they've had to the actual harsh realities of the ZA in the same way that Alexandria, the Kingdom, and Hilltop and Oceanside have seen it, because they're not thinking about the fact that, well, you know, if old Misery Schmuckatelli dies of pneumonia in her apartment, then she's going to come stumbling out and start biting people.
Right.
Because I think whenever they did bunker up, and again, we haven't found out, but I don't think they've had the same experience as everyone else has had. I think they've been very insulated from the turning process and how, you know, your walkers will show up and people die under normal, natural type circumstances, but then they don't have the process in place to make sure they don't go stumbling out into the larger community.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe it's your establishing the old order, but it's also showing a degree of naivete, I would say.
Yeah. And I think we saw that a lot in this episode kind of the views of like what they think of outside versus inside of the right. Commonwealth. But, I did go back and like try to look up, cause I don't know comic book wise, but you know, if there was any more information, but like, from the Walking Dead, like dot fandom, I was like looking for the Commonwealth. And so it's like, I think what's known is just like, during the outbreak, it was like the Commonwealth original members, like they arrived at this area in Ohio, like seeking safety and, you know, to get away. And I guess the Milton family was there and they're like, you know, highly influential politically. And they somehow managed some kind of like little area and built walls. And so from there, they've just been expanding and you know, we don't know much more than that, but it seems like there was something already kind of like, oh, let's just do this. And they had the resources and just basically walled themselves up and, you know, were able to kind of push the brunt of the apocalypse away and live in this
right.
relative safety, which means they're much more naive to like the, you know, the horrors that we've seen for like 12 years on this show.
Right.
So, but anyways, so well, maybe they'll give us a little more info on the show or not, but the guns, of course, I feel exactly the same way, where it was like there was like not a blink in Maggie's eyes when we have seen where it's like no. I mean, they're fighting with swords and like, you know, makeshift.
Yeah, they were down. Yeah, they were down to swords, spears, axes.
Arrows
and bows, because they didn't have bullets, and now all of a sudden we're back to everybody has guns,
right? And plenty of bullets.
And I need to, in the spirit of total honesty, I was incorrect last week. He didn't shoot 6 times; he shot 7 times.
So. That's a, he has like,
so
a,
I actually went back and counted, and he shot 7 times. So, you know, kudos for me for getting more than 5, but I'll have to errata myself.
But that's still like, it wasn't enough, right, for that gun.
It's true.
So it's like they didn't show him reloading.
That is also correct, sir.
All right. Thank you so much, Dieta, as always. All right. Well, let's get into this week's episode. All right. Season 11, episode 13 is titled Warlords, written by James Byrne and Eric Mountain, and directed by Lauren Iaconelli. And the description was, Maggie, Lydia, and Elijah help a stranger from another community. All right. Well, I guess that goes into our ratings. LT, you want to take it off?
I will. And I'm going to give this week's episode a 9.75. It's a bitch to take off.
I'll give it a 9.2. Humpty Dumpty's kneeling on a wall. And I'll put a little cry face emoji there.
Ow.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is our rating. So let's get into the listeners' ratings. And this is, well, definitely, I think this episode really kind of hit the mark for a lot of you, and as me as well. And our first listeners' rating comes from Dieta from Detroit. And she says, yes, what a freaking episode. Now, this is the stuff we've been missing in The Walking Dead. I rate this episode 9 out of 10. Yes, we finally get to the nitty-gritty. Yes.
Glenn from Toronto says, 8 out of 10, clenched butt cheeks.
Always takes the ones that I want to use. I wrote that in my notes, and then I saw Glennis's comment. So, good one, Glennis. And Renee from Atlanta gave this a 10 out of 10. Woo! Woo! Man, if I could give this episode a 20, I would, because that's how good it was. Thumbs up, okay, okay. Someone liked it.
She liked it. Emma from the UK says, okay, bit of a different feel this week. Not sure what to make of it. I'd give it a 7 out of 10, full of surprises.
And Alma from Sacramento said, wow, this episode had a few jaw-dropping moments. I rate it at an 8.5. I admit, at first going into this episode, I was like, eye roll. Oh, great, here's another ominous community. But the twist had me mind-blown.
And there you go.
Yep. All right, well, thank you, listeners, for your ratings. And that will take us into our awesome sauce.
Awesome sauce!
All right, our first awesome sauce comes from Dieta from Detroit, and she says, this episode finally got that old Walking Dead feeling back. Like, I'm literally dancing in my living room after that episode. And she had dancing emojis. Gabriel and Aaron back together again. Exclamation point, exclamation point.
Glenn from Toronto says, excellent stealth kills done by Negan's colleague in saving Gabriel. I think casted as Annie, and Maggie, Elijah, and Lydia coming from opposite direction in the building, taking down a Commonwealth soldier silently.
Yep. And Emma from the UK says, Commonwealth zombies. Aaron using his metal arm to good effect.
Say, wow.
Yes.
Okay. Renee from Atlanta says, every dang thing about this episode was good. And man, I hate to say this, but I was even happy to see Negan. I roll, even though his girlfriend's hair looks a mess. What's up with The Walking Dead and these tired-ass wigs? I roll. Michonne's fake-ass dreads didn't look that bad. Shrug. Father Gabriel was looking and acting like a real pastor up there on that pulpit, but it didn't take him long to become Call Me Gabriel again, and I love it. Baby, don't mess with Call Me Gabriel. I think that's a hug. He told that batshit crazy Carlson, this is how it's going to go, and he took off his clerical collar, and I think that was very disrespectful for batshit crazy Carlson to call his clerical collar a part of his costume. Bad face, bad face. I love badass Call Me Gabriel. Flex. Maggie called it when it came to the Commonwealth, and even the leader Ian of the new community knew not to ever trust new people, because he's like, there's always a wolf in sheep's clothing. That's why I really don't understand Diane leaving last week and Lydia this week talking about how they're going to the Commonwealth. Eye rolls. Seriously, after everything they've been through, they can't pick up on bad vibes, and unlike you guys, I believe Pamela knows exactly what's going on. She may not know all the sort of details, but she knows everything is not peaches and cream. She just goes along with the get-along because she's living good, so she really doesn't care as long as she gets what she wants. Which sounds like what's going on with a lot of people in the present. They know things are not right, but they accept it as long as they can keep living good. Damn the Poe folks. If I was in The Walking Dead, I would not want to go back to that mess. I don't care how much ice cream they have. I would rather deal with the zombies. Shrug.
Good. Well said. All right, next is Alma from Sacramento, and she said, did you all recognize the leader of the River People? Michael Biehn, how did they get Kyle Reese here? LOL, I really thought this guy was going to last for a while, and that he was a sinister villain, especially after his shelf of heads. Then all hell breaks loose. Yeah, he didn't live long. Guest appearance. Negan's reappearance, party emoji, and mind-blown emoji was totally not expected this either. Did you guys see this coming? I know I'm forgetting something, but I'm sure y'all will catch it, what I did not mention. Thank you, Alma. Yes, I mean, I didn't see it. I mean, as far as I was expecting, it was like Negan left, and just based on the comics, he goes off and lives happily ever after. And
well, he didn't get too far, but...
No, and he, kind of, I guess, I don't know if he's join this group, or he just came, you know, like, what's the deal?
He was just hanging out.
Yeah, he was just passing through, hanging out. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for your awesome sauce. So let's go into ours. I felt like I've had a lot of, everybody had basically the same stuff that I said, so I didn't really have anything to add. But I see you do.
Oh, yes, I do. And the first thing I'd like to say is I'd like to go ahead and gloat for being right. It's like, go me, go me. I called it. I called it. Yes, Lance Hornsby, Mr. Covert Operations Chief. That, I mean, we've already seen that he's been doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes, but this is like way even, I would say almost more than I had even imagined that he's up to. And so, of course, here we go into the next thing. They have Mr. CIA operative, who obviously specialized in wet work. And he's being all Mr. Friendly and Mr., you know, do you feel it? Do you feel those adrenaline and that dopamine? We're meeting new people. And I'm going, and after I watched it again, I said, we're meeting new people and we're going to kill them. Just when they had that scene in Hornsby's office and he was doing the, well, you know, I don't do that anymore. And I meditate and I grow flowers and I'm happy. And I was going, what happened to Mr. I meditate and grow flowers? Mr. Headshot boot people off the roof.
Yeah, that's.
And I'll complain about him a little more later in some more sauce. But absolutely love his character. I mean, just other than the things I'm going to talk about later about him, just absolutely, he is the reason that people don't trust the Commonwealth. Because there's no way you can't tell me that some of these other communities that have run across Hornsby's little covert operation and things happening, word's going to get around that while they're putting on the big shiny face, you know, that bad things come when the Commonwealth shows up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I would like to just go ahead and say, Ross Marquand, I mean, absolutely killed it this week. There's something about the way he does the I'm pissed off and shocked face when things were going bad. And it was just that look on his face when he started shooting when I'm going to call him the wrong name. But when Mr. CIA started shooting at Jesse after he was like, you know, hey, this is our intern. He's learning the ropes.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's so willing to go, come back here, kid. Bang. And just the look on Aaron's face, I was going, dude. You know, I've always liked Aaron's character. You know, I definitely love Ross Marquand as an actor, and especially the fact that he is such a super, I'll go ahead and say, he's such a super funny, nice guy to meet when I met him at Carolina Horror Fest. Just absolutely made me happy. And especially after that one scene when they killed the zombie troopers and you see him running down the road going, hey, Maggie, hey.
Yeah.
And I said, and I was thinking to myself, wouldn't you have felt stupid if it was like not who you expected? But, this week, I got to have awesome sauce for just like Renee said. It was great to see Gabriel back in church because it's not that he's just preaching again, but he's preaching with the experiences he's gotten over being out in the wilds.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that he would definitely be able to take care of any issues that some of his Commonwealth parishioners would have, because it's like, look, you know, you're not trying to be, you know, nobody from Terminus is trying to eat you. You know, you're not being overrun by whisperers. So, you know, the fact that you and Peggy Sue are mad at each other, we can work this out.
Yep.
And I have to go there. One of my absolute favorite actors, just like Alma said, Michael Bean. I mean, we got to have Johnny Ringo. We got to have, you know, Kyle Reese. We got to have Corporal Hicks in The Walking Dead. And, well, of course, and you guys know me so well, you know I'm going to complain about that later. And I'll save it for then. But it was great to see another prominent action star actor get to be in The Walking Dead, even though it was kind of short.
Yeah.
And just like I said on the first one, after I was gloating about being right, I think the pieces are starting to fall into place on what Hornsby's up to. And I'm still going to contend that maybe Pamela has a notion of what he's up to, but I don't think she knows the full breadth and scope of it. Because, and I say this because, she strikes me as the morally upright, self-righteous type. Mm-hmm. That I think that if she knew just how dirty he was playing, she would give him the boot-a-roo.
Or something.
Yeah, she would do something, because I don't see all the stuff she's doing. Because after the conversation she had with Maggie, I don't see her as one of those people that's, you know, putting on the big smiley face and then realizing that all this, you know, undercover subterfuge wet work is going on her behalf.
Right, right.
I don't see her as that kind of character. I think that she would be, you know, very upset. And that's why Hornsby is so worried about keeping things quiet. Cause you remember he said, well, we could get more soldiers and we could do this, but Pamela would start asking questions.
Right. Exactly.
And that to me is a linchpin point. Is as long as he can do stuff and kind of shuffle the numbers and play with available things and say, well, we had to go out in the South, you know, the South 40 and clear some walkers. So that's why I asked for that extra platoon of troops. Not I was going out to, you know, reinforce my position in the illicit drug trade.
Trade, right.
So I think Hornsby has got. He's got a lot of balls in the air. You know, he's juggling a lot. And I think his end goal is he's hoping that this will win him some more power and authority with Governor Milton there.
Yeah. Yep. No, for sure. And it's just kind of like, to what end? I mean, it seems like he has kind of, he wants to have in like some control of like these like so-called territories outside the kingdom, you know,
that,
and like these
that I think is a perfect end. He's seeing himself as being, you know, the to go with your analogy, he's seeing him getting set up as like the governor of Gaul, mm-hmm. or, you know, the governor of Britannia or something. That he's made all this stuff happen, so he's going to pull his little disparate places together and say, you know, look, Pamela, I can run all of these people that are giving us all of these things if you just appoint me, you know,
mm-hmm. yeah.
governor of the reaches or whatever.
Yeah, yep. And then she'll be like in kind of a, no, you know, like, in a spot where she's like, she almost can't refuse because, you know, he'll have more power,
right.
and she'll want to be like, I still want to keep mine. Yeah. It's a mm-hmm. interesting.
And I see, cause I don't know. I think the plot twist would be if he suddenly decided that he wanted to take over, know, that he wanted to be the big kahuna, but we'll just have to see. Cause I think I don't know how far, you know, how far his avarice is going right now.
Right. We don't know. Well, we don't know how, yeah, how much his reach is at this point with like the other communities or like who else is he dealing with. We just know that there's like the drug people that are like giving medicine to the hospital. Like he's made deals with some of these outside communities, but we've only seen the one.
Yeah, we've only seen a very small sliver of it. Mm-hmm. And I think that also plays into why he was so trying so hard to get Maggie on board.
Yeah.
Because I think Aaron was a pragmatist. Aaron was going, I don't necessarily agree with you 100%, but I want to make this deal because we need your stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think that he's willing to swallow the bitter medicine for the what he's going to get out of it. And I think that with the experience that Maggie's had in other communities, you know, in her post-departure road trip with Georgie Meridian experience, I think she's going, the price that we'll have to pay for this is not worth what we're going to get out of it. I think that's kind of why she's taken the position she's taken. You know, she's looking at it at when the bill comes due, and it will come due, right, is it going to be something that I can't stomach to give up? And I think that's why she is doing what she's doing.
Yep, I agree for sure.
And remember, the subtext of that is apparently they think Maggie is important enough and has enough sway that's why they were courting her so hard.
Yeah, I mean,
that it's not to say that, you know, Aaron is not as big a boss as Maggie is, but I think that they're looking at the how much gravitas it would give, you know, them, aka Hornsby, if Maggie kind of went along.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, they see her as a, I mean, they already know, especially when they're speaking to Oceanside, you know, just that it's like she still has like power and influence, and
yep,
that's somebody they need to win over if they're going to get the rest of them. So it's not happening. All right. Yeah. I just, like I said, everybody kind of took a lot of the awesome sauces because, you know, really this episode was very Aaron and Ross, Aaron and Gabriel centered.
Yep.
And the acting and the tenseness and just the action, it was a very, very, very good episode. So,
yeah, it was.
Yep. All right. Well, let's go into our weak sauce.
You're worthless and weak.
All right. Our first weak sauce comes from Renee from Atlanta. And she said, I did not understand how Negan and Anne was not seen, but Jesse was. Thinking face.
It's because Jesse was wearing white and Negan was wearing his stealth hoodie.
Yeah. And then in her email, there was a number 2, but there was nothing there. So I don't know if that was a typo. So sorry, Renee, it was just, there was nothing there. So I'm not sure if that was on purpose. So if we missed something, just let us know.
Emma from the UK says, I know Walking Dead is all about the threat from other humans rather than walkers, but it seems a while since we've had any real walker threat. Would like a bit more of that. And I concur.
Yep. They've been talked about or mentioned. Well, I guess not really. They've been propagandized with that, that news story of that Mercer and all his people took over a swarm to protect the Commonwealth. But yeah, we haven't seen how the Commonwealth really would react to like a big threat.
We haven't seen any big Rick in the RV.
Yeah.
Kind of herds. Any you know, fill up the gravel pit sort of herd.
Dirt, yeah. No, and this actually is kind of a nice little point that Maggie said to Lydia when they were in the car. You know, it's like she was saying, it's like they have not been tested in 10 years. And it's like, mm-hmm. do you want to be there when they are? And it's kind of like, well, yeah, they haven't had one of their walls fall, and then their soldiers like aren't there to protect them. To like, what happens mm-hmm. when a swarm or herd comes barreling through?
Yes. What happens? What happens when Bob the ice cream man and Joe the baker have to take up arms and defend their city?
Yeah. So we'll. I am wonder if we'll even see that. I don't know. All right. Well, thank you, Emma. That was the rest of our listeners' week sauce. So let's go into ours. Do you want to just go first?
Well, I'm gonna sag off of yours when you do it.
But, okay.
To quote my favorite fedora hatted archaeologist, cannibals. Why is it always cannibals? I mean, are there that many people left that cannibalism is such a thing? You know, are we that hungry that we're, you know, eating the one resource that can actually help us fight and build shelter? And
yeah.
Yeah, that was my thing, is that just how many cannibals are there?
Yeah, because, I mean, it's one thing to think in the terms of like, oh, yeah, if you have like no resources and you're like, you know, what the movies we've seen or whatever, you know, like, oh, we're stuck on the top of Mount Everest and like we we can't get down and we don't have.
Or we're in a lifeboat in the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
You're right.
And, you know, and Bosun Smedley is starting to get sort of sick, and I think he's going to drop off, and he's looking kind of tasty. I can totally understand that.
Yeah.
However, I don't know. I keep thinking that human taboos would still, you know, prevent that sort of exigency.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Especially when you're like, you can still walk through a forest and find something to eat, or even if you're eating leaves or bark, or, you know.
There are still obviously little furry animals about.
No, right. Yeah. And at this point, at 10 years, it's like, if you haven't learned how to hunt, then how are, you know, it's kind of, or at least try to kill something, but.
Yeah. Or if you haven't figured out how to hunt or fish or do something like that, then. Yeah. Yeah, obviously you've got a lot more MREs than we gave you credit
for. Right, which those don't even last that long.
And I did like that. It's like when Aaron was going, cannibals? Why would we be cannibals? We have MREs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I realized there's probably somebody out there going, well, I don't know. I think I'd rather be a cannibal than eat MREs all the time. But anyway. So let's talk about, again, back to our CIA buddy. I can't say in my experience, but it's always been my belief that the reason that you have two people and you toss one of them off the roof is to get the non-tosser to talk. I just think that tossing people off the roof willy-nilly is just mean.
Yeah.
It's just sadistic. And I'm sure that once fear rolls around, we'll get to see Strand tossing a few people off the roofs.
Yep.
It seems suddenly the roof toss has become a staple of the Walking Dead writer's room.
Well, they did do it in Fear in season 3 off the dam.
That's true.
So, I mean, it's kind of like, but again, it's... I mean, I guess, if anything, it just showed how brutal and how crazy...
Oh yeah,
he was, because it was kind of like you started hearing all the people just falling. It wasn't like he was even caring to find any answers.
And that's what, like I said, another one of the points that I made earlier was on rewatch. You know, the first time I said this guy's nuts, and when I watched it a second and a third time, I went, "Yeah, buddy, I don't care how much he was meditating and growing flowers." He's he's been in the business a little too long and likes it a little too much, because it sort of gave me the impression that it's not his first rodeo with Hornsby either.
Right, right.
So, and I think my final weak sauce is that, is it just me, or are the Commonwealth troopies sort of growing into the white armor, like derpy stormtroopers, the further this goes along?
Yeah, yes. I mean, that's, they just look like it, and, you know, it's like,
well, now they're acting like it. It's like the guy, especially my thing of the guy that got shanked in the lobby of the apartment building, the guy that's holding Gabriel.
Yeah.
It's like, Squitch, hey, bud. It just seems like that they, for lack of a better term, this is what happens when you play your first person shooter on easy mode. That the bad guys just kind of stand there going, hey, we're getting shot at. We should hide.
Or, yeah, I'm just going to stand here and not move.
He said, just really not impressed with the quality of the troopies anymore. That maybe that's why they're so excited to get Rosita and Daryl to join.
Maybe.
It's like, yay, we have somebody who can shoot and fight and can survive.
That's a good point. It's maybe so. Well,
I don't know. It just seemed like that they're sort of doing the I'm clueless to my environment and not paying attention to anything. And I'm going to wail all over that when we get to what's all.
Okay. All right. Because yeah, I kind of agree with that. It's anyways. Well, I just only kind of. I put this in the weak sauce was because I was putting my fear cap on. And again, it was like, why is it that some people drive cars and so they have fuel, but then other times it's like the horse and buggy. And then like Maggie takes off in her truck, when they're going to go find, go to that, help those people or whatever. And but it was like, okay, what did the Commonwealth give Maggie gas for her truck? And then it makes me like, how are they making it? And like, you know, we saw Mercer, his crew had the truck when Connie and Kelly were hanging out with them, like what, a few episodes ago. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, well, who gets these and who doesn't? It's like, even when Pamela Milton, you know, was going on her little tour, you know, she was in a, like, you know, horse and buggy, which then again, it's like, well, that was a really long distance. So, you know, it's like, I'm just like, where's this tank town? Like, well, you know, like, well, yeah, but this seems, well,
they are near Pennsylvania. And if you remember your history, Pennsylvania was where the first oil rush in America was.
Well, right. But still, it's like, this is a very limited supply.
Let me put my editorial prepper hat on and say, I would bet, based off of the first scene when we saw the Commonwealth show up at Alexandria, and they unloaded two large barrels that said ethanol.
Ah.
So supposition A is that all the vehicles have been converted to run on alcohol, which is a distinct possibility. Or B, one of the things that I found out about is you can make a passable biodiesel by using soybeans. There's a way you can do a cold press process to render the oil from soybeans and make it into a passable diesel fuel. However, with that said, the vehicle that we saw was not a diesel.
Yeah.
So unless we're going to play fuel tank shenanigans like we did in Fear, where Morgan pulls the Apocalypinto out and goes, well, I drained some diesel fuel from the submarine. And I was going, Morgan, they never made a diesel Pinto. There is no such thing as a diesel Pinto. This could just be, it's air quotes, gas.
Yes.
It makes cars run.
Oh, and it's just so convenient. Like, they have it when they need it. So it's like, of course, you know, like, that's the only thing that kind of was like, I just thought was weak. It was like, okay, here's Maggie, like, getting a letter for, or, you know, getting the thing from the kid. I forgot his name already. On the horseback, you know, but it's like, I just feel it's like it kind of breaks the whole, like, okay, you know, like, you're like trying to rebuild your, like, hilltop, you know, and then it's like, oh, and you just would happen to get gas, you know, and then you have a truck and you're driving how far away, and you're not going to think that, like, oh, I'm only going to have half a tank.
Well, I'm going to be screamy and shouty about this a little more later.
Okay, but, good.
But it's, I think that while we're here in the Watts, you know, perhaps it's just to highlight the difference between the haves and the have-nots.
Mm.
That we're going, well, we'll send him out with horses because since nobody else has vehicles like us, we don't want them to think we're putting on airs and trying to play all superior right yet. So we're going to just use horses because, you know, practically speaking, you know, horses can graze for their food if there is underbrush and grass to be eaten, and they tend to not need the sort of intensive maintenance that a vehicle would. But I'm still firmly in your camp that it's like, perhaps it was back to some of our other fear points, is that in order to maintain the speed of the plot in certain points,
yeah,
we needed to have a vehicle.
Yep.
Because I think that long interrogative between Lydia and Maggie in the truck would have been a little bit different had they both been, you know, riding down the road.
Like on a horseback.
Horses.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Good point. True. It's kind of the same with fear, where it's like, mm-hmm. there I'm kind of like already at the point where I'm like, okay, well, yeah, it's like you just suspend disbelief, you know, just like whatever. It's just that's what it is. They need it for the, you know, to make the plot go, you know, with the whole Tomic thing. But then in this show, it just kind of still is like, wait, no, that seems to be like you shouldn't be doing that. But
well, you know, all the times before in the main show when I've said, oh, obviously all their cars are made by Apple because if something happens, they brick and you can't use them again.
Right.
And since the show is titled The Walking Dead and not The Driving Dead, we have to get them walking as soon as possible. So any vehicle is automatically going to die before any members of the party do. But it just seems like that for this and your point that we had to get Maggie and her crew to link up with Aaron and Gabriel quickly. So let's just say that the Commonwealth gave Maggie enough fuel for her truck that she could drive.
Convenient. All right. Well, that was it for the weak sauce. So let's go into our what sauce.
What?
All right, our first listener's what sauce comes from Emma from the UK, and she says, Maggie leaving Herschel again? Just difficult to understand in such dangerous times how she could do that. Well, I guess he's got people there, though. And that's another thing. I don't know, like, you know, she left.
Yeah, but, you know, that's always Renee's point. How could you leave your youngins?
Yeah.
And I absolutely agree with you.
Yeah, and well, and the other thing that kind of struck me too was like, you know, Hilltop is in rebuilding mode. You know, Lydia's like, you know, saying, I'm going to leave. And they had Elijah and then Marco, I think maybe, on the, you know, standing guard. But really, we didn't see anybody else. So it's kind of like, oh, how many people are at the Hilltop?
We did. There were one or two wandering extras in the background.
And that, while it's like, I didn't quite catch that on those scenes, well, but still, whenever, again, it's not like we know that they have like 50 people or
it's not like there's a buttload of people in Hilltop.
Right.
That there was the one rando when Maggie was hugging Herschel, you could see the guy walking across from right to left in the background.
Okay, so they have three
people. And I wasn't going to say, obviously, the key grip was looking for his gaffer's tape.
Well, I guess that's one person that can watch Herschel. But then I don't know how Maggie would bring him along when they're going on this dangerous mission.
And there you go. To me, it would be more of a liability to have your small, defenseless child. That's almost getting into Spider-Man territory.
Yeah. Well, anyways, still, they're leaving their kids. Yep. And she continues on. She said, Carlson, what an asshole, and yet more evidence of the dark side of the Commonwealth. Clearly, Pamela Milton doesn't know half of what Lance is up to. I hope we get to see what she did when she finds out his true colors. We shall see.
We shall.
Negan, he's back. He has been living with these people? Question mark. Well, good question. I don't know. So how did Maggie and company get into the complex? Negan and crew can't get out, but they got in without being seen. I can't work that one out.
Well, it's obvious that Negan left the back door open whenever he ran out to give Jesse the map.
Yeah. I thought there was something with the map that, there was like another entrance or something, but I mean, I guess, well, Negan was also there with April or whoever, I'm not sure whoever that, the woman that he's with.
Anne.
Okay, with Anne. And they were inside, but they were there with the other, people live that from the building. So it's kind of like, he can't get out, but he was trying, I guess, come up with a plan or something like that. All right. Well, thank you, Emma.
Okay. Well, Renee from Atlanta says, finally, Lancey boy has shown his true colors. I really believe it was never any weapons to begin with. And if they were, he had stolen them and acted like somebody else did. It didn't take Carlson long to get back in the swing of things. I mean, he started killing and drinking real quick, which is truly sad that he was clean for 4 years and he just fell off the wagon that quick, which makes me think that his job and drinking go hand in hand. He drinks when he becomes the boogeyman, and alcohol helps suppress his feelings if and when he starts feeling guilty. I think that's why he said he was all zen, because that helps him to keep them demons away, whereas before it was the drinking that helps. But whatever the case, he's a full-fledged psychomaniac again. And she finishes up, says, Negan was definitely the last person I was expecting to see.
Yep, he's crazy.
Yep.
All right. Next is Alma from Sacramento. She said, CIA covert shenanigans from Hornsby and this and his guy. I was mind blown, emoji, totally not expecting this. I mean, dude was killing innocent people like nothing. Yeah, he...
Yes, he was.
It definitely seemed like Carlson obviously did this before for like the Commonwealth somehow, got out of it because he was there. He was kind of turning into the Aaron of the Commonwealth, where he was like going and like looking for people, like either like, going through the process of like who they let in, who they do not, let out, and like was working with Aaron and it was going good. But then here we come. Lance is like, hey, I need you to go back to the way you did things. And it pushed him over the edge. And he is, I think that was kind of his MO back in the day that we just haven't seen, that it's just like the scorch and burn kind of method.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for your watch sauce. Let's go into ours, LT.
And we'll start off with Carlson. We've already talked about it, but to me, isn't it oddly convenient that there is a former CIA covert operative living in the Commonwealth and that Hornsby finds him and gets him to go back to doing what he used to do? I agree that he's definitely got some character issues. Part of me wants to say that maybe he's just that way all the time, and the zen and the other stuff is just his way of putting on a normal face for everybody else. Maybe he really is a truly conflicted character who didn't want to do this, but he's good at it, so he starts doing it anyway because that's what he knows how to do. And we've already said that the Commonwealth loves bringing up what you used to do for a living, so it stands to reason that if he was an operator who was, you know, knocking off dictators in hostile governments for the CIA, that he'd be doing the same thing for the Commonwealth.
Yep.
The thing that I noticed is he really struck me, and this is going to be, I don't know if it's a deep cut or not, but he really reminds me of Gary Oldman's character from the movie The Professional, the one that had Natalie Portman as a very young girl and that French guy that was in Mission Impossible. If you've ever seen The Professional, it's an interesting movie, but definitely I can see Carlson being like that, because the Gary Oldman character was, I want to say he was like a DEA or an FBI guy, but he really was like a wet work assassin more so than a government agent kind of thing. And he had some moments where he could be really lucid and then he would just be utterly batshit crazy. So that was one of the things I noticed there later in the episode that I'm going, yeah, I see parallels. So I have to put my tactical army hat on and go, okay, so you've shot the head of the bad guys and you have theoretically secured the bottom floor of the building. Well, obviously you haven't secured the bottom floor of the building or people wouldn't be able to sneak up and shank your troops while they're guarding prisoners. They wouldn't be able to ingress and egress the building at will. So back to my stormtrooper argument, they did a piss poor job of searching and securing the bottom floor of that building. If this was the plan, if the whole plan was Carlson was going to go in, make contact with the leader, and they were going to start killing people, the first thing that I would do, if it was me, is I would search every square inch of that bottom floor of that building, find out where all the stairwells were, where all the doors were, and I would post up security teams on points of ingress and egress so that if the point is you're trying to get the people in the building to surrender, that they couldn't slip away unknown, or they couldn't slip back in once they had slipped out. Negan, I'm looking at you. And just for the general security of my guys, so that nobody can sneak around through a door that should have been obviously guarded and somebody should have been paying attention to and shank somebody. Just saying. I just think that if you're just standing in the lobby and saying, yep, we've secured the building, you're in trouble. If you don't have enough bodies to search and actually physically secure the bottom of the building, then you go outside.
Yeah.
You go outside because outside, hopefully, it's clear so nobody can sneak up on you and you can watch the building and not worry about having somebody putting the sneak on you and stabbing you in the neck so you die horribly in a heap. And since we were talking about vehicles, Kyle, I'll see your gas and I'll raise you about 3.
Okay.
The problematic thing that I see at this point in the apocalypse is AutoZone is not open.
Right.
The thing that a lot of people don't realize about a car has a lot of parts, a lot of things that move. Cars have a lot of things that are made out of rubber, which after about 10, 12 years of sitting outside and not moving, rubber gets old, rubber gets hard, rubber cracks, rubber breaks. If you leave a car parked in one position for too long, the sidewalls of the tires will begin to degrade. So you kind of see where we're going with all this.
Yep.
Is that, okay, great. You've got, you know, I've got 60 gallons of ethanol and my truck will run ethanol. Okay. You still got to have antifreeze. You still got to have heater hoses that won't burst. You've got to have tires that'll work. You have to have brake lines that are not been compromised. You have to have brake fluid inside of those brake lines. You have to have oil. You know, there's a lot of things that go into making sure cars run. And since there are no more parts, you're going to assume that you have to use used parts if new parts are not available. And who's to say that the used parts are not any better than the old parts that you already had on the vehicle?
Right.
And then you need lots of tools in order to take old parts off of vehicles and put new parts on. So just the chain of logistics to support a vehicle is making me scratch my head because, as we've already said, they were down to the point where they were, you know, turning old vehicles into buggies.
Right, right.
They were, yep. They were taking scrap metal and making it into pointy pokey objects. So how can you maintain a vehicle in a running state with limited, you know, parts and things that make cars go?
Because they can, or they have...
Because the plot says they can.
Right.
And this is almost the anti-argument to my other one about the good old days when they got a flat tire and suddenly they can't use the vehicle, is mm-hmm. this is, well, we don't care that it's been so long and there's so many possible things that would make it impossible in a practical real world sense to make this car go. No, we need this truck to run because it's going to advance the plot. And just to crawl back on my soapbox for a second. Yes, I know you're going to say, but LT, you gave the show such a high rating this week. Well, I'm not saying these took off from that so much. I'm just making a few points because these are some things that just stuck out to me, but didn't obviously harsh my mellow enough to make me vote them, you know, really come down on the show.
Yeah.
It's just things that I notice when I watch TV shows.
Yeah. No, it's very true. Like, but I mean, yeah, I feel like, you know, we do that with fear a lot where it's just like, okay, it's about the story. That's what, you know, we're looking, watching at, you know, like, well, that's what, why you're watching and it's the story. But yeah, we could totally pick away, be like, okay, yeah, that makes no sense. They can't do that, whatever, well, you know, but
the difference between this and things that they've done on Fear is that some of the things they've done on this are just like, you know, gentle face palms. Mm-hmm. It's like, ugh, you and point. It's like that, ugh, face palm. You know, Fear is more like head desk. You know, oh my God, they did it again. Thunka, 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 thunka.
Yeah.
And just think, Kyle, we're not going to get a break.
No, we're not.
We're going to get to go right into Fear after this.
Yes. Yeah, Fear basically just doesn't give a crap anymore. they're going to do it. And so it's kind of like...
Well, it's the difference between I'm a fantasy show about a zombie apocalypse and, you know, I'm a cartoon show with real people about the zombie apocalypse.
Right. All right. All right. Well, I guess then if that is it for what sauce, then let's go into our sad and aw sauce. Aww. And first comes from Dieta from Detroit. And she says, I see someone has hard eyes. And she says, hard eyes emoji for Lydia. Elijah and Lydia equal a Lydia for the ship. There's something there.
But always don't fall in love in the zombie apocalypse. Mm-mm. And so our next bit of sad sauce is from Renee from Atlanta, who says, Jesse died before we could even get to know him. Aw. And the psycho Carlson was just pushing people over the building like it was nothing. I sure do wish Rick Grimes or Michonne was here to take him out, but maybe Aaron will. And I must say, Aaron is looking mighty fine. She has the little hearty face emoji.
Yep.
And I'll say, yes, he is.
All right, next is Emma from the UK, and she says, Lydia admitting that she would like a different life, a quieter, calmer one. Not sure she's going to get that anytime soon, and definitely not with the Commonwealth.
She might
in the future, depending.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for your sass and awesome. So let's go into ours. I just, Carl's, like, actually, it is sad. It's shocking. Carlson and those people being shoved off the roof to their death. And, you know, that, of course, is sad, but it was very sad because it was so brutal. Like, I think a lot of this this episode, why it was, like, so good and so just, like, all the emotions that were on all of it at every point, you know, it was, like, but just seeing that was very... Yeah, it was just sad because it's just like, man, you know, it's like there was like this whole, like, Aaron and Gabriel were so, like, just, you know, just not shocked, but just basically it's like everything that they had thought and, you know, or trying to, like, okay, we're doing this and we're going to, like, not be, you know, like, do it carefully and, like, protect us and protect people and thinking that, you know, they were going to try to get out of there. And then it was just like snap. And then Carlson's just like, nope, I'm just going to kill everyone. And so it was just seeing that last part at the end was just, it was sad.
And well, for my sad and all sauce, I said, once again, The Walking Dead kills another Terminator alumnus. They gave us Robert Patrick for only a short period of time, and they killed him.
Yep.
And they gave us Michael Biehn for a short time, and they killed him.
Yeah, they tend to like to now do that because we know half of our people are not going to die now.
Right. Well, and they brought it up on The Talking Dead. It's like, Linda Hamilton, if your agent is asking you to be on The Walking Dead, don't accept.
Yeah. You will not last long.
Well, now, granted, Nick Stahl, another Terminator alumnus, actually lasted several episodes in Fear.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is yet again another Terminator alumnus, but yet he died as well. So I love to see my franchises crossover, but come on, guys. More than one episode.
Yeah, like, give them some kind of legs. Yeah, because, yeah, it was like just probably like, what, 6 minutes of screen time, maybe?
It was, well, I'd say maybe 10, but still, it's.
Yeah. Oh, sad.
It's like, yay, I get to be on The Walking Dead. Boo, I just got killed.
Oh, well, they got paid.
Hey, and that's what counts.
Yep. All right. Well, that was it for our sad and awesome. So that takes us into our feedback.
We can talk about it. Done talking. Time to listen.
All right. Well, okay. Renee, this is the other part of her voicemail. I was going to play it later because it was like, she was actually making comics about the spinoff that we talked about last week. But I got to go ahead and just put it here because she does say some of the same stuff in her written feedback. So let's just take it away.
And LT, I just had to call in. I didn't want to write. I had to call in personally and to tell you that when I saw Negan this week, I did not, I was not as upset. Negan, he is somewhat redeeming himself. I feel like if he joined his new group and they were saying that it was a religious group, you know, if he went to God and he asked God to forgive him, who am I? I have to forgive him as well. You know, the Bible says that once you go to God and, you know, ask for forgiveness, it's put in a sea of forgetfulness. It's washed away. So, you know, but for as him and Maggie doing a show together, I mean, if they did it whereas Maggie was to join this new group with Negan and his girlfriend, because I think that's his girlfriend because they have chemistry, something is going on with them because it seemed like they had some type of chemistry to me. and him and Maggie was to go away and help them, I can, you know, see something like that happening. But them just putting Negan and Maggie together and sending them off to New York, no, I went, babe, to get behind that. Because I feel like, for me, if someone was to kill my husband in cold blood like that, I would never be able to forgive them. I would never be able to forget. But if they came to some type of mutual understanding that they were going to save someone or do something, but not just them two by themselves, then I can get behind that. But yeah, I just wanted to call in and say that Negan, I wasn't as upset when I saw Negan. And, you know, I have did things. We all have did things, and we had to ask for forgiveness. Of course, I never did the things that Negan did, but I have did some things, you know, and the Bible says sin is sin. It's no greater and it's no less. So, but yeah, I just wanted to call in and say, I digress. I am, Negan is I'm beginning to kind of lean towards him a little bit. I don't think I'll ever be fully a Negan fan, but, you know, he's beginning to redeem himself, and, you know, him going in and helping Father Gabriel. So yeah, I like that. Okay. I just wanted to call it. And Brian. Okay. Yeah. I have been meaning to mention you a couple of, for the past couple of times I called in. We miss you, Brian. Where have you been? I know they said that you were moving and everything, but come on. It's time to come back home. It's time for us to hear your voice. And yeah, I just wanted to call in, let you guys know. Love you. Bye.
Thank you, Renee, as always. Love your voicemail. But, well, so there's a little turnaround, which is nice to hear. I was going to just go into her written feedback because she did say some of the similar stuff. So let's just get to that and then we'll discuss any comments. Okay, so she goes on with her written feedback and she said, I really did enjoy this episode. This is what I miss about The Walking Dead. I love when they get all stealthy. It was mind-boggling. The twists and turns had me all over the place. And I just hope this is how it goes, it's going from now on. I want action after action, but I must say that even though everyone is holding their own, I'm always thinking that if that would have been Rick and Michonne, it would have been much better. Well, agreed. I must say, and I really hate to say it, but if Negan and his new folks were to link up with Maggie and go to New York, I will watch the spinoff. But she has to keep the same energy of not liking Negan. They cannot act as if what happened to Glenn is behind them, because that wouldn't be plausible to me. But if they found some sort of common ground, I can see that. I like Negan's new group because they remind me of the Nomads, which reminds me of Vikings, and I love that era. I don't like Negan, but he's beginning to redeem himself a little. Just a little. Like, what is that? Shock face thing. LOL.
Yep.
I love Father Gabriel's point about when they were out there, they didn't care about who or what they were. They all were just trying to survive. As soon as they get back to normal, everyone starts clicking up again, and I hate that. I wish we lived in a world where we all could just be comfortable with each other, regardless of our color of our skin or sexual orientation or our tax bracket, etc. I truly try to step out of my comfort zone every day and try to connect with people from all different walks of life. I truly love everyone. Heart emoji, heart emoji, heart emoji. We love you too, Renee. It's always fun to have you on the all your comments and your voicemails. So definitely, yep. And can't wait till Lent so that you can get back to the Facebook group. We miss you there.
Okay, well, we've got feedback from Dieta from Detroit. She says, well, looks like the truth about the Commonwealth is coming to light. Hornsby is going to be the cause of the Commonwealth falling. He is into some underhanded, shady stuff, and Pam is none the wiser. This will ultimately cost her the Commonwealth. Leave it to good old Hornsby to use someone's past life to his advantage. Carlson is a former CIA operative, now a crazy lunatic on the loose. Can't wait till our people put him down. Carlson is throwing people off the roof and is clueless. He was sent to Riverbend under false pretenses. Hornsby is running out time. Maggie's team is coming for Carlson. Wonder if he will find out Hornsby has just played him before he dies. Gabriel with the classic line, why would we raid this place? It's a total shithole. Aaron says, you think we're cannibals? Felt like old times with those two. She says, Negan is back. I knew he hadn't gone far, just found another group up the road called Riverbend. And she has some rolling on the floor laughing emojis. Overall, this is a way better episode than previous ones. We are finally starting to get some traction with this. And I agree.
Yes, I would definitely like it if they keep this up. I know it's going to slow down. We'll have those episodes, but it's just they're definitely doing great. All right. Well, thank you, Dieta. And next is Emma from the UK. And she says, so Maggie's instincts were right not to trust the Commonwealth. This season is really getting good. Yep.
And I agree. And so we have feedback from Glennis from Toronto. She starts off, Gabriel preaching in the church in the Commonwealth reminds me of echoes of Four Walls and a Roof in Season 5, Episode 3, when the cannibals were slaughtered by the survivors and Gabriel grappling with his face and refusing to help Sasha and conquer in Season 5, Episode 16 in the Alexandria Church when he'd left the gate open after his aborted suicide attempt. And also with Rick Grimes' speech in the Alexandria Church in Not Tomorrow Yet in Season 6, Episode 12, his head haloed by the church window, looking like the avenging angel rallying the troops against the saviors. So, Gabriel and Negan are reunited in another entrapped building, though Gabriel doesn't need a pair of those shitting pants this time around. How far he's come to badassery. Indeed, is Lance Hornsby planning a coup? Why is he stockpiling arms? And who really took those guns? Was it Maggie? Was it the Commonwealth rebels? Or was it the CRM or another shadow group out there? Is the CRM slowly being brought on again to The Walking Dead? Rick, come on. I don't think Lance Hornsby is really so cut up about the Commonwealth soldiers that were murdered escorting the guns. So what's with the intimidation brandy finger testing that Toby Carlson did with Lance Hornsby's drink? I thought Lance was the madman last episode and the big baddie, but he hasn't got anything on that ex-CIA fella. Lance doesn't want to get his hands dirty, but on the other hand, Toby Carlson has no such qualms. Ian, the head of Riverbend, rather a nice sounding community name for that ugly block of a building, with his collection of heads of the ex-living compared to the governor with the heads of the turned living. Walkers all nicely displayed. Toby Carlson seems to have a similar vicious murderer streak to the governor. I sense a showdown between Lance and Colby at some point down the road. Did Ian of Riverbend come in contact with the Termas cannibals at some point? You know, both Gareth's group and the original occupiers that they managed to oust? Could be. Is Colby's ruthless pushing those people off the roof? Aaron or Gabriel can't reason with a guy like that. A close call for Aaron with Toby's gun being out of bullets. Aaron and Gabriel are getting lots of screen time. Doesn't bode well for their longevity and survival.
Now, that's true, because that's kind of one of those things. But, yeah, unless they announce an Aaron and Gabriel spinoff.
Well, that's true. This episode was more like the old Walking Dead. Totally enjoyable episode. And the next episode is going to be the assault and hide-and-seek of Riverbend between the different groups of Carlson and the Commonwealth troops on one side and Maggie, Elijah, Lydia, and Aaron and Negan, Gabriel, and the Riverbend folk on the other.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, it's not like it's really, you know, known because I'm like, they're... I'd have to go back and look. Oh, I saw this comment. I meant to go look at it. Right. But it's like where... Because Lance did say something or was it Aaron about like, oh, we're going to go check out this community on the edges of Virginia. And so it's like, okay, right. Where edges of that? And then where was the Terminus in the relation to that? Because I know, you know, they had to travel a bit from Terminus to get to Alexandria.
I think Terminus was still like Georgia, South Carolina.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking too. So it's kind of like, okay, well, they're still, I don't know. You never know if there was some kind of a little
well, you never knew. I mean, we could have had some wanderers off who followed the tracks north.
Yeah, totally true. Or it could have been the people that are originally there and they got run out and set shop somewhere else.
Well, and as far as screen time goes, I don't know if The Walking Dead has quite risen to the level of certain other franchises that I pay attention to where anytime you get any significant character building or plot exposition related to a character, that means they're going to die.
Right.
However, comma, we still have the T-Dog factor in effect. So, I don't know. I think really and truly the only person that I think is probably going to die is I'm still not holding out much hope for King Ezekiel. Sorry, hate to say it, but
yeah,
there was just something about the expression that Kari Payton had when he was on Talking Dead a few weeks ago, when he kept saying, you know, every time we get a new script, I got to check and see. It's like, yep, I survived. So, yeah, part of it was just him, but part of it, you know, there's a little gallows humor in there that I'm kind of going, maybe he knows something. And of course, every time they have the guest list for The Walking Dead, you know, Angela Kang, showrunner, you know, Fred Schmaltz, super fan, and a special surprise guest. Because, you know, it used to be every time you had a special surprise guest, it was going to be somebody is going to die.
Die, right.
It just so happens that the person that died this time was Michael Biehn.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing that is kind of like where, you know, we kind of already have Negan and Maggie's characters are going to be just fine. You know, Daryl and Carol. And, you know, it's kind of like we're at a point now where it seems like, you know, oh yeah, like the deaths that happen on the show are like not that shocking, you know, like they're not main characters. They're not like, you know, no one's being ripped apart, you know. It's kind of just like, oh,
it's not like when we had Deanna die. Or God, what was her name? Was it Erica, the girl that got the arrow in the eye from Dwight?
Oh, no,
the doctor, medical chick. Anyway, we're down to the point where, like you said, we're running out of main characters to kill, and we know the ones that have a degree of plot armor because they're getting a spinoff.
Right.
So, does that mean that anybody else is fair game? It's quite possible. But at this point, I would say that most of the main characters also have some sort of supporting plot thread that they need to finish.
Right. Yeah,
I don't think Eugene is going to die suddenly because there's still more things for him to do. I would be very happy if Sebastian dies a horrible, horrible, horrible death.
Yes.
I think that Mercer still has some plot to finish. I think Princess still has some plot to finish. I think that there's some capital in there for Rosita, but the further away you get from the core group, the more at chance they have of somebody dying. And since this is the last season, we know of the four, they're not going to die theoretically, unless we have a large time jump at the very end. But it wouldn't surprise me if we start seeing some people killed off before the actual close of business.
Yeah. No, it's kind of, that's, yeah, well, I guess we'll just have to, obviously, we have to wait and see.
I don't want to be overly sanguine about it and say they're all going to die, but right. I don't want to say, well, you know, you've been on the show for 8 years and they're not going to kill you off after that long. And yeah. Of course, we know how that works out.
So. Oh, well.
I think right now, I am just in a very much, let's see what they do next.
Yeah. Nope. Agree. Totally.
Because we've got, how many more episodes do we have of this block?
Of this block, we have three more.
We have three more. So whatever they do in these next three episodes, they're going to have whatever they have at the tail end to tidy up and finish off. So I'm expecting some sort of cliffhanger-y thing for the last episode.
No, and, for sure.
Oh, yeah. So we'll just have to see what we get in the next 3 weeks then.
Yep. All right. Well, did you have anything else? That was the end of our listeners' feedback. And thank you, Glennis, as always. Such great feedback.
And thank you so much, all of our feedbackers.
Mm-hmm.
And no, I think I've already said everything I want to say for the time being.
And same for me. Just a great episode. That's all I can say. It's like I hope it keeps going. All right. Well, then that's it for our feedback. So then let's go into our news, ratings, and info.
There's a couple weird stories on the news.
All right. Some good news in the ratings department. Season 11, episode 13 of The Walking Dead actually was up quite a bit. It got a 0.45 in the 1849 with 1.789 million viewers. It got a 0.63 in the 2554 and a 0.98 in the 50+. So compared to, yeah, so it's everything jumped up great. So that is compared to the last week's episode, season 11, episode 12, which was a 0.38 in the 1849 with 1.582 million viewers, a 0.54 in the 2554 and a 0.87 in the 50+. So
it was up across the board.
Yeah, which is good. And this was a great episode. So maybe we'll see some ratings increases. Well, The Talking Dead also got a little bump too. So it was a season 11, episode 13, got a 0.18 in the 1849 with 701,000 viewers. So I'm not sure how the ratings little system works because it's like, and I didn't put up the numbers for the, you know, like the 2554 and 8 point or in the 50+, but it's like it got a higher rating, but it was showing that it had less viewers. But
well, if Brian would hear, he would say, well, Kyle, if it's not in the top 20, I think top 50 or top 25, they only break it down by the prime demographic and they don't do the others.
Or, well, I mean, actually, I think it did. I just thought I'll put it in there. But like the total overall viewers, I guess it's like that.
Yeah,
was the
I've asked that question. I've asked that question for as long as I've been on the podcast. That why is it that the rating number can be higher, but they show lower overall cumulative viewers?
Viewers, yeah.
There's some fuzzy math in there I don't understand. So.
Yeah, or it's just the whatever their demo that they're like is like they're pulling something from, but. Anyways, ratings across the board were up, so that is always good. And then The Talking Dead from last week got a 0.16 in 1849 with 705,000 viewers. All right. Well, the Parrots pulled those up. And so actually, The Walking Dead stayed the same, stayed at the same number 8 this week with 44.3 times the demand of the average show. So that was up a little from last week that was at 43 times the demand of the average show. So it's holding steady, which is nice. And of course, remaining at number 1 is SpongeBob SquarePants with 68.1 times, same as last week. And remaining at number 2 is Saturday Night Live with 60.8 times, down from 62 times last week. Number 3 is Euphoria, which actually went down a little bit, 50.1 times down from 57.2 from last week. But I thought this might be interesting because I actually don't know this show that well, but My Hero Academia was number 10 last week at 38.9 times, but is now replaced by Outlander at 41.7 times. So I don't know if that's a new show that came on or I don't know.
Outlander's been out for a while. It's based on a series of books, got some time travel and some romance, and it's very Scottish.
So. Mm. Well, it took over the number 10 spot, so knocking off My Hero Academia. All right, well, that is it for the ratings. Now, we have some special good news. coming up.
Yay, news. Yay.
Guess what is finally coming after what, over a year?
They announced what, it. Kyle? What?
The sub show is coming.
The sub show. Yay. Woo-hoo! Finally.
Titled Dead in the Water.
Wait a minute. Thanks, AMC.
Oh, thank you so much for finally doing it. But yes, Dead in the Water is what it's called, and it is coming this week. It is a special that will take a closer look at the submarine, the USS Pennsylvania, before the events in Season 6 of Fear of the Walking Dead. Nick Stahl will return as his role as Riley, who was a weapons officer on the submarine before becoming one of Teddy Maddox's minions. The spinoff series will take viewers back to an eve of the outbreak as the Pennsylvania's crew began to turn with no explanation. Walkers are running the sub as Riley, who recently became a father, must figure out how to survive. So the thing is, it's, the release date is coming up. So it's going to air on AMC Plus on April 10th. So that's a Thursday. So this is ahead of the 7B premiere on AMC on April 17th. The first two episodes of 7B will be on. I'm reading from the article. So it's the first two episodes of season 7B will be available on AMC Plus on April 17th, with subsequent episodes airing 1 week in advance. So they're going to put two episodes out of Fear on the 17th on AMC Plus. So you had mentioned this before, and actually it just kind of said it in the article, but I guess this is just an AMC Plus only.
That's the impression that I'm getting. So I'm going, yay, we finally get the sub show. Boo. It's only on AMC Plus.
So, but yeah, I'm wondering.
Which is good for you, bad for me.
For me. Well, but it makes me think, though, that it will come to AMC like they did with the
Red Machete.
No, where they did those episodes that were...
was it like Flight 402 or whatever it was for Fear?
Yeah. Well, those came up. Those were on the web, though, so they didn't air, but they were free.
Well, but they did show them on, TV eventually.
No, actually, and they showed them in between the commercials, and they showed each little... That's how they were doing it.
Right, but they did eventually show it,
Yeah.
I'm hoping that AMC will decide to show this on regular TV.
Yes. So if you do have AMC Plus, you're lucky. It will come out on April 10th. But hopefully, yeah, they release it. So if you don't have to pay for it, you can just watch it. But still, good news. We're finally getting that.
Finally.
Yes. All right. Well, that was it that I had for news. Nothing new, really, that I've seen for Walking Dead related, but Fear is almost here, so.
Well, I'm not sure if it was another trailer, but I think they've released a second trailer for Fear that was sans Madison, but I don't know if it was the same one. I don't think it was the same one, but they're really pushing the whole Alicia Strand thing.
Yeah, I mean, I have to look. I didn't see. I thought I did see something pop up on Twitter or somewhere.
Well,
but
whatever the case is, they are definitely, you know, putting out the promos, trying to get us to jump on the bandwagon. So I will be excited to see what happens.
Yep, I will too. Well, and from the last trailer, I'll have to look for this other one. But yeah, it's like there seems to be a lot of action, and there's a lot of new looking places, and you know the war is on, but then of course the Madison angle, it's like, what's that going to be? And there was talk about Padre, so like, is Madison a part of Padre? I don't know. Anyways, I guess we only have a few more weeks to wait.
That is correct.
All right, well, that's all I have for news. So LT, you want to tell people how to interact with us?
I will. We want to encourage you to follow us on Twitter and Instagram. That's @WalkingDeadTTM. To submit your theories and feedback, most people post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group. That's facebook.com/group/walkingdeadTTM. You can send us email. That's walkingdead@talkthroughmedia.com. If you'd like to use our feedback form, you can go to our website at talkthroughmedia.com/feedback. If you'd like to impress us with your dulcet tones and leave us a voicemail, you can call area code 216-232-6146. And remember, it cuts off at about the 3-minute mark, so plan accordingly. All of our new episodes are on YouTube. Just search for Talk Through Media and remember to subscribe and click that bell to get notified when we have new videos. Those videos go out first before the podcast does.
To support us, like and review the Talk Through Media Facebook page, and you can find that at facebook.com/talkthroughmedia. And the best way you can support us is in our Patreon. And you can find that at patreon.com/walkingdeadtalkthrough. And we would like to thank our Patreon supporters, Clint McCollum, Renee Murray, Dieta Patterson, Lawrence Todd, the guy over there.
Hello.
And me, Kyle McAdams.
That guy over there.
And remember, Dieta, Clint, and Renee will be getting an early version of the episode this week. You can also subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts or your podcast client of choice. And while you're there, give us a rating or review. And you can also leave us a review at podchaser.com. And there you can actually rate individual episodes or the whole podcast. And as always, remember to share our posts on Facebook and Twitter when we post them, or tell a friend. Word of mouth is the best way to get us new listeners.
So what else is going on the Talk Through Media Network?
Brian and Ruthie are covering Star Trek Discovery, and they're also covering Picard. But some updates on that. Brian has made his move, and he told me is that they should be back next week. I think they still have 2 episodes of Discovery that they haven't published yet. The finale and the one before. And obviously Picard, that's going on already. But those things should start coming out. And as always, I mean, you can always go to StarTrekPicard.com or the Facebook group at facebook.com/group/StarTrekTTM podcasts with an S for more information. But shouldn't have to wait too much longer. And also they have a Patreon that you can support those podcasts with at patreon.com/Brian and Ruthie. All right, next week. Get The Walking Dead, Season 11, Episode 14, titled The Rotten Core. After this episode, it's like, we get this. That sounds interesting. Written by Eric Mountain and James Barnes, and directed by Marcus Stokes. And the description from AMCPlus.com is, Maggie, Lydia, and Elijah help Aaron and Gabriel on a mission. Daryl and Rosita pull a heist. All right, so until next time, I'm Kyle.
And I'm LT.
And this is The Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everyone.
Good night.